This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The horn sounds, the ball game is over, and for the first time since 2012, the St. Mary's Gales are West Coast Conference Tournament champions, and they are going to the NCAA Tournament.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Got 11 to shoot. Takes Williams off his feet, a mid-range, the elbow drilled, and he has got it all going on now. To the paint, kick, CJ receives, shoots a three, got another one! You can knock him on his case there, he's still going to get rid of it and knock it down!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Browns get Odell Beckham Jr. from the Giants. The Giants get back a first-round pick this year in 2019, number 17 overall. The Browns' second, third-round pick this year. And safety, Jabril Peppers. 3-for-1.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080, The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this beautifully sunny, happy hump day.
Hump day!
Going beautifully sunny today, huh?
Yeah, I like it.
It wasn't a planned thing. It just kind of came out that way.
Okay, I'll take it.
I am seeing sunshine currently
down
here on the river.
Is it depressingly sunny?
No.
Thank you, Swagger.
That's valid, it's not.
You know what I have to say to you?
Am I bumming Brandon today?
You just bummed the way I describe beauty and sunshine, and you're like,
mediocrely sunny?
I think when you have sunshine for about 2 minutes and then it's cloudy and then sun and then cloud, it's intermittently beautifully sunny.
Bro, we are going to be mid 60s in the weekend.
Oh, so spring is here.
No.
Oh, it's not here.
I said the weekend.
But you poo-pooed my spring is here the other day. You said spring's not here.
Just like you're stupid. Snow, this is the storm. It's going to stick.
There we go.
We're not working tomorrow.
Spring's here, baby. Spring is here. It's leading me right into my Mexico trip. I'm going to get some sunshine before I leave.
Dude, I'm going to hate you so much that week.
Dude, next Thursday, which is 2 days before I leave, is 67. It's supposed to be 67 and sunny. The first day we're going to be out at the Independent for Fan Madness. Week from tomorrow.
I got to be.
We're almost hitting 70, baby.
I need to be genuine when I say this. Usually at Fan Madness, we pick and choose. Like, are we going all in on Fan Madness on a Friday, or are we choosing the Thursday?
You got to pick your day there.
Now, I've gone both ways, and I don't think there's one over the other. I really don't. If it's 67 and sunny on Thursday, I might end up just going Thursday and having drinks and just go, life is great.
Yeah, it depends. It's dangerous, though, on the Thursday, because then you still got to come to work on Friday.
Well, we work at noon.
That's true, but
a lot
I didn't
have to sleep it off.
I think 2 years ago, we were at the Independent for Fan Madness, and that was the day their Thursday was a fun day. And then Eric Church was in town, and I went to that concert that night. Friday was not a fun show for me. Like, I Ubered to work. The girlfriend at the time came and picked me up. We went to the concert together. I had fun on Thursday.
Sure.
And Friday was a little rough. So that's my only thinking here is maybe we have to stagger our days where we party. Because I am going to be on Friday. I am fully on vacation mode.
Well, Friday's show, we might as well just tell listeners now. I will be the only one hosting. Right. Dirt will just be like, I'm having fun.
Sitting back with my legs up, sipping a Bloody Mary in the morning. We're going to have some fun on Friday.
We still got a little wild card in the system because the Oregon Ducks are on a roll. They start the conference tournament tonight. I think they could win the whole thing and get in the NCAA tournament.
Swag thinks they're going dancing.
So what if there's a shot? What do we do here? If they win the tournament, and then their tourney game is the exact same time as the show.
Well, the tourney game will air.
Yeah,
we'll still be over at the Independent. We'll go over to the Independent.
Right. We'll be there.
We'll be there.
Drinks will start early, and drinks will be had.
How great would that be?
Amazing.
That would be awesome.
This is going to upset some fans.
You're giving me a bonus day on top of my vacation? Are you kidding me?
Let me just say it right now. This is going to upset fans. Go Ducks at that point. I mean, come on. Give me a day off.
Can we mark that, please? Can that be marked?
Give me a day off.
That would be great.
The Beavs are going to win the Pac-12 tourney and ruin it for you.
Beavs.
If they don't and Oregon does win it, why would I not be rooting for a show off where I can just hang out with listeners and have some drinks?
So who do the Beavs play? What winner do they play?
Cal or Colorado?
Cal, Colorado.
Okay, well, they should be able to win that game.
Did you just say Colorado's in like, yeah, Cal has no chance?
No, I said Cal, Colorado.
Oh, okay. Well, Cal should
probably right.
Have a chance.
Cal won their last three, including knocking off Washington after.
Oh, speaking of which, by the way, we got a game gone now.
Richard Jefferson's doing Pac-12 network stuff.
Is he really? Yeah, I've said this for a couple weeks. Now, I boycott college basketball because it's a terrible product, and I don't know how anybody actually watches it for any extended period of time. But the Pac-12 is so bad this year that I am very excited for this tournament.
Well, it's starting right now, Arizona and USC.
Like, watching
the 8-9 game.
How crappy this is going to be over the next 4 days, and I'm kind of hoping, like, Cal wins it. I think that would be hilarious because you get that sometimes in the smaller conferences.
Nobody wants to see this angle.
But yeah, it's a bad angle for Jill Savage.
Jill, why are they
got an up nose shot?
So this is terrible radio. But we're watching the Pac-12 Network, and Jill's doing a hit,
a stand up, and the
camera's below her.
Man must be sitting Indian style on the court or something like that.
It's looking up her nose, and now I know her right nostril is more round and open than her left.
Yeah, the left one's kind of closed there.
She's got a deviated septum. Is that what
they
call it?
I don't know why they're doing this.
Fight Club there. You see Fight Club leathered up, though, for the Vegas appearance.
Should we have a fun over-under? Because I haven't quite seen the entire building yet. Should we have an over-under of how many people are going to be at a noon game on a Friday between Arizona and USC? Now, I know Arizona travels okay.
Yeah, USC might have 25 fans.
Right?
And it'll all be parents and girlfriends of the players.
Now, I've been to the Pac-12 tournament. Now, I went in L.A. Arizona fans... thousands.
Even this year, though, without Craig, because that was, they were good when
you went down
there.
They love that team.
You could drive from Tucson to Phoenix needed to. It's four or five hours?
About. They love that team. They're one of the best fan bases in college basketball.
A lot of olds going over there.
Yeah.
Traveling over to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Got to play some bingo for
also
a couple
not,
of days.
Also, not the nicest people.
I've heard that about Arizona fan. Yeah.
Especially, I don't know about football, because whatever with their football team, but... yeah, men's basketball,
they're a little entitled. Yes.
Yeah, very entitled.
Also, we would be messing up the opening segment if we didn't give a shout-out to our boy Bill Gaffney.
Yes, Bill Gaffney called me today.
He called your office phone because his boys pulled off a historic upset last night.
It didn't strike me right away, and it should have, but my we have these new phones, and the caller ID pops up of who's calling you. And it just says William.
William.
It says
Gaffney.
William. It says William G.
Looking for wheat then.
William.
And I'm like, who the hell is William G? And then I was like, oh, maybe. And I picked it up, and Gaffney goes, hey, it's Bill.
Is he a?
No, wait. Oh. Bill. Bill Gaffney.
He's first last name.
And then I go, oh, Bill Gaffney.
Oh.
Change really. Home of the 1% listing fee. And he thought that was funny. And he goes, you better talk 2 hours of my St. Mary's upset last night over Gonzaga.
Yeah, I've already loved this. I started trash talking my Gonzaga friends immediately last night. My buddy Cash is a diehard. He went there. I immediately sent him the text making fun of him. And his argument has been, this is good. They needed a wake-up call going into the tournament to reset the focus.
Yes. That's always the answer when your team that's substantially better loses a game they should.
Yeah, they couldn't make a jump shot to save their lives. That was pretty impressive from St. Mary's. And if you ever doubted how good a coach Randy Bennett is.
Oh, yeah.
They held Gonzaga to 47 points in that game. They lost the first meeting of the season by 48 at Spokane.
Yeah, come back to me, Cash, with how that's a good thing your team lost to a team they already beat by 48 points.
And they lost by, what are they, 13 or 14 points? Right? Wasn't it like 60-47?
They piled it on at the end.
There was free throws at the end. Gonzaga was fouling and trying to catch up. So
still, they lost by 13, 14 to St. Mary's, number one team in the nation. Come on, Zags.
I'm with you, though. College basketball has largely gone unwatchable for me the last few years.
It's here, though. It's tournament time.
Yeah, conference tournament times will get me back into it. I've got multiple interviews out for our small college basketball, mid-major coach interviews. We've got one tomorrow.
Fairleigh Dickinson, right?
Yeah, Fairleigh Dickinson, yeah, their head coach.
Is this a real school?
This is a real school.
We're not getting scammed here.
I believe they're in the NEAC.
They're in the NEAC?
Maybe it's the MEAC. I can't remember, but we'll do a lot of homework tonight.
Judge ruling?
I'll have to go. Well, there's
SWAC doesn't even know that's how small the school is.
There's the MEAC, which is the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, and then there's the Northeastern.
It's the NEAC. Yeah, okay. I was right. It's the NEAC. Yeah.
The NEAC champs.
They won the NEAC championship.
Barely.
The Northeastern? That's the NEC. Northeastern Conference is the NEC, not the NEAC.
No.
There's the MEAC.
The Northeastern Athletic Conference. Yeah, NEAC.
They just go by the NEC.
We're calling it NEAC.
Can we call it the neck? They win the neck.
Point being, it's time to start talking to mid-major coaches, help you with your bracket a little bit. If you want to pick Fairleigh Dickinson and be like, well, I'm picking them because of their name, okay. But if you actually want to know a little bit about them, their journey to where they got, I always enjoy talking to these coaches. So we're going to dive into that. As you mentioned with the Pac-12 tournament, God knows who's going to win it. Washington's kind of the favorite, but then like Oregon and ASU are up there. My Beavs are plus 700 to win it.
That's not a bad value bet, though, if you're throwing some cash down.
Dude, if I was in Vegas to watch this tournament, I for sure would have laid.
Throw $50 on the Beavs to win the tournament. Why not?
I'd lay some money on it. Why not? Yeah. So college basketball ramping up here, tourney time. And then, by the way, as much as I love the NBA, this is the dead time of the NBA. This is like everybody is already in playoff mode.
Right.
So let's somehow get through the last 12 or 13 games that we have left and be healthy and start the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Busy time in football, too. Let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. I did want to say a very quick, and I don't mean quick to be rude, but a huge and quick thank you to the Portland Diamond Project yesterday.
Absolutely. That was a blast.
Hosting us at their headquarters, their clubhouse over there on 1919 Southwest Morrison. Craig Cheek, Mike Barrett, Jen Burley, you guys were fantastic. Gave great content on the air for all the shows. Our guest, Arwin Barney, he was great to talk to. Didn't get a picture with him. I forgot to get a picture with him. Kevin Gunderson, Pat Casey.
Kevin Gunderson had some solid off-the-air stories, too. That we wish
Why
we
did you? I wasn't going to do that. Don't do that.
I won't say what it, I wish we could have told that story.
You just
over
now
the
pissed off all listeners because they want to know what it is.
It was glorious.
It's involving the College World Series. That's all I'm going to say about that.
We had a good time, you know?
But it was a lot of fun. Great facility. Merch is kick-ass. We love working with you guys, so thank you so much for doing that, having a radiothon with us. And thank you to the listeners. I mean, it doesn't exist without you guys, so thank you so much for showing up and supporting all three shows. We didn't even get to, by the way, this may or may not be on tap, Marcus Greaves, who is our little protege,
our young whippersnapper,
our buddy. He thinks that he could steal 10 bases in Major League Baseball today. He thinks you could put him in cleats, baseball pants.
Yeah. Put him on the Dodgers.
Put him on the diamond, yeah.
Put him on first base. He's stealing.
He thinks he could steal 10 bases. Now, we had to talk him down to 10 because his dumbass thought he could steal 60.
Yeah, he started with 60.
And we put a poll question on this. He's getting destroyed. It's not good. One of my favorite responses that I've gotten, we'll read a couple of them later. I assume Dirt has a can. Oh, no, hold on. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Marcus admits that he doesn't know anything about baseball. The amount of knowledge and everything that goes into it, laughable that he could steal 10.
He's non-baseball guy that thinks baseball's easy.
Basically,
because he never played baseball. And I told him I could hose him at second base. Give me an hour to warm up my arm.
Wow.
Because my shoulders are messed up. You give me like an hour to really loosen up the old noodle.
Yeah.
I'll hose him, no
are
problem.
Are we talking pitch to catcher to second?
Yeah,
or are you
full
just talking
tank.
Standing?
No. Full tank. Somebody can throw me a pitch. I'll hose him at second with my eyes closed. Okay.
I think most of us except Marcus agree that he can't steal 10. This actually needs to happen.
If he can't steal a base on me, he doesn't stand a chance in hell.
Let's do this in softball season.
Okay, softball, even though the bases are shorter, so we'll have to figure out the distances and all that stuff, but I'm all for it. Come softball season, I'll throw them out.
Okay, what's on tap today for the show? Obviously, a lot of NFL. Le'Veon Bell, Earl Thomas, Odell Beckham Jr. got traded yesterday. And then we'll dive into the Blazers. They get a really good win last night against the Red Hot Clippers team. LaMarcus Aldridge told Jason Quick he wants to come back and finish his career in Portland. I'll tell you why that's a good idea and why even if you hate LA, you should support it. So we'll dive into that. The Pac-12 tourney is underway. We'll talk about that. James Dolan is a bitch. The NFL, we're going to dive into the NFL at large. Statter story. It's going to be a good show today. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. But we will start. Le'Veon Bell chooses the Jets. Did he choose the Jets, or did he have no choice but the Jets? We'll start there. You got Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Cloudy Portland here now.
I love these days.
Oh, shut up.
I went for a walk yesterday when I got home, took the dog out, and it was like...
Pouring off and on.
Every like 100 yards, it felt like a completely different day. It's like, this is Portland, man. I love this.
We got the Daily Ticker coming up. We got two NFL stops to make. Le'Veon Bell. He finally picked a place to go. 4 years, $52 million, 35 guaranteed. Could get up to 61 with incentives.
Mm-hmm.
He has chosen the New York Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets was the favorite. A lot of people assumed that would be the team. But there was these rumors about the Raiders, the Ravens, people threw out the Bears a little bit.
The Niners apparently made a late push yesterday.
Well, here's the interesting. Let's dive into this first. One, he could have made $14 million with the tag last year.
Yes, he could have.
He lost $14 million. And numerous reports have come out on this story citing that the Steelers offered him more than what he got. Now, what's guaranteed versus what's not guaranteed? Yeah. I'm sure that's a different argument.
That's the big issue.
But the Steelers offered him 48 in the first 3 years. He's not going to get that with the Jets. So even if they didn't want to keep him for 4 to 5, I would guess he would have been there for 3 years and he would have made more money in that sense. We don't know if he'll see the life of this contract, but he chooses the Jets. Pro Football Talk came out and said the Ravens never even called. Like that report that they were interested was not true. They didn't call on him. Many people believe the Raiders really didn't call on him. And if that is true, I would lead to believe that the Niners really weren't that interested either. So instead of, I would say, choosing the Jets, it sounds like the Jets were kind of his only market.
Well, I think the tough part about with those reports is we're in that time of year where things are just thrown out. I mean, that was the prime example in the Odell Beckham trade, which we'll get to, was the GM coming out, 13 days ago saying, of course, we're not going to trade him. There's all sorts of random reports that come out this time of year. It's agents trying to change the market. It's just random stuff that's floated out there. So you never know what to take seriously. A lot of people have crapped on Le'Veon Bell for this deal because for two reasons. One, as you mentioned, he turned down the franchise tag last year, $14 million. And he had a tweet last year, I think last February, saying a $60 million wouldn't be enough to get him to go to the Jets. And now he took a deal where the most he can make is $61 million. He deleted the tweet, of course, so obviously not a good look. But I think the thing you have to remember, and this goes back to the Steelers reportedly offering this or that, first, that we don't know if that's true or not. This happened with Bryce Harper. The Nationals offered him 10 years, $300 million. And then as the summer went on, the offseason went on, we found out that it was a bogus deal. Like it was a lot of deferred money. It was going to be a low average salary. It wasn't $300 million and guaranteed that Bryce Harper was going to see, but that was the number that was out there and everybody ran with it. For Le'Veon Bell, it was all about guaranteed money. I get that it's a bad look when you turn down $14 million then to make an average salary of $13 million. But let's say he plays on that franchise tag last year and he ruptures his Achilles in week 16. Then what is the free agent market like for him?
Sure.
That was the whole point of him, you know, sitting out for a year, and he did it. He followed through on his threats, and now he's got $30 million coming to him. So sure, maybe in the long run, if he played last year and stayed healthy, of course he would have made more. But that goes back to the risk that he was going to have to play with, and he didn't want to live with it.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, because there's no doubting how great Le'Veon can be when he plays. I mean, if you're talking about all-around backs, I think he's the best one in the NFL, and I think he deserves that respect. However, I've kind of switched. I think like 3-4 years ago, I used to have this opinion, like when a great player like him was around, you'd be like, oh, yeah, you got to pay him. Why would you not pay him? I've just come to the point where I've seen so many backs come out of nowhere. I'm off the running back market. I really am. Now, if you can get a guy at the right price, then okay. But like when you're going Le'Veon Bell type, as special as he is, look at Indy. Indy brought in Marlon Mack, but because of how good their offensive line was, he rushed for 1,000 yards.
They only won one playoff game and then got smoked.
I know, but the Steelers didn't make the playoffs last year, and that's almost maybe a credit to Le'Veon Bell.
They've had AFC title runs, though, with Le'Veon Bell on their team.
And I'm not trying to tell you Marlon Mack is Le'Veon Bell. I'm just saying, like, I don't blame a lot of teams, actually most of the league, not wanting to really pay these guys the amount they think they're going to get. Now, some running backs are going to make surprising money. Devontae Freeman, I think, was one of them. But when you talk about spending a percentage of your cap, man, there's only so much I think these teams want to spend on running backs now because of the ability to find them early, find them mid, or even late in the draft. Hell, get the right free agent. CJ Anderson was better than Todd Gurley in the playoffs. Yep. I never would have guessed that in my life. And that is an example of running backs where you lose them and maybe it hurts for a few games, but you get over it. If you have an established offensive line, I'm not sure how much it truly does hurt you.
See, the tough part with that, I agree with the most part, for the most part with it. The only things I disagree with is when you have guys who are multifaceted, like Le'Veon Bell, like Todd Gurley. Because, yeah, Gurley didn't do much in the playoffs. A lot of that was the injury, though. And I think you could point to their offense really struggling at times against Dallas, against New Orleans, and, of course, not scoring a touchdown against New England because their number one option that they've rode for the last two-plus years was not 100% healthy, and he wasn't a part of the lineup, and it changed everything that the Rams did. So not having Gurley back there was tough. I think you could look at Dallas as an example of this. You know, Ezekiel Elliott's been in the league for 3 years now. The first year they went, what, 13-3, won the division? I know they lost their playoff game, but they were 13-3 with him. Year two, he's in and out of the lineup, the suspension, he's playing, he's not playing. They missed the playoffs, he's back healthy this year, has a big season. I think leads the league in yards per game or total yards, whatever. They're back in the playoffs and they win a playoff game. I think there's some guys that stand out above that. And to me, Le'Veon Bell is one of them. Like, this stat blew me away, and it was important to remind people of it because I had forgotten about it. Field Yates tweeted it last night. In the minimum, with a minimum of 50 games in your career, playing 50 games, Le'Veon Bell is averaging more yards per scrimmage, from scrimmage per game than any player in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
More than Jim Brown, who's number two, more than Billy Sims, more than Barry Sanders, more than Terrell Davis. In a minimum of 50 games played in their career. That is an astounding number. And I think this is a great pickup for the Jets because they didn't have to pay as much as people thought they were going to have to. And developing and fostering a young quarterback is all about giving them help, both in the running game and a guy that you can just dump it to, what, you know, 7, 8, 9 times a game.
Well,
he
might get 100 catches next year. Their wide receiver core is not very good.
Huge help for Sam Darnold in year two of his career.
Right.
So I love that move. I agree for the most part with your running back take. I just think there's some guys that are...
You just have the above.
They're right above it, you know? Right. And I think you can make that argument a lot of positions. At wide receiver... Like, sure, a lot of guys are interchangeable, but if you have a chance to go get somebody that is a true game changer that you can't find on the open market, you got to strike while you can.
It's a tough balance for me, too, because I can acknowledge how good Ezekiel Elliott is, how good Le'Veon Bell is, and how they're better than 95, 98% of the league. But then you do have examples of guys that are of lesser talent that go out there and produce. DeMarco Murray, he had multiple good years with the Cowboys, and we learned it's probably the offensive line because he goes to Philly and he doesn't have the season. Then he's a Titan. And where's he now? I think he retired. He's a college football analyst. Ezekiel Elliott is great. And I'm not disputing that or that he's better than DeMarco Murray, but he comes in there and he has instant success. It's got to be a tough balance, I think, for GMs to really evaluate that position and go, I will pay him. I won't pay him. This number, not that number. But the Jets are thinking with Sam Darnold on what you said, young quarterback, Our wide receiver core isn't great. We need help offensively. Let's go get a diverse weapon that can not only go catch 50 to 100 balls out of the backfield, he can go rush for 12, 13, 1,400 yards from scrimmage.
If he stays healthy.
The over-under, by the way, in Vegas is 1,200 rushing yards for him this year.
Yeah, if he stays healthy, he'll get there.
So what was I saying? Le'Veon Bell signs with the Jets, and he'll be there. He's got 4 years, 52 mil, 35 guaranteed. We'll dive more into Beckham. Earl Thomas is now no longer a Seahawk, kind of the end of the Legion of Boom. But coming up next, the Daily Ticker, two stops to make, Cleveland and New York. We'll do it next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we got to go quick here. Daily Ticker will start in the National Football League in New York. Le'Veon Bell is now a Jet, so Connor Hughes of The Athletic covering the Jets is our guest on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. He's on Twitter at Connor_J_Hughes. Give him a follow. Connor, thanks for the time, man. I know you're slammed, so we'll just start. Are you surprised it was only $52 million? That's what it took to get Le'Veon Bell.
No, not really. I mean, following this story over the last, 72, 48 hours or so, it became pretty clear that that Bell's market was not nearly as robust as originally believed. This was a situation where the teams that were expected to be interested in him simply were not. You know, the Indianapolis Colts were not in this. The Baltimore Ravens were not in this. To an extent, the Oakland Raiders and maybe the Philadelphia Eagles as a secret team were, but they were in it at a much lower price than what the Jets were willing to offer. So this was really a one-horse race. It was the Jets, and really if this was down to Bell wanting money, it was going to be the Jets. And the Jets kind of held firm at their offer and eventually took it.
Well, I think the exciting part about this for Jets fans should be what it does for Sam Darnold in year two, just to give him a big-time weapon in both the pass game and the running game. How does this change your expectations for the Jets in 2019?
They're better. I mean, if you're getting the Le'Veon Bell that you saw in 2017 with the Steelers, they are undeniably better. Now, the big thing here is that the Jets still have several holes that they need to fill. They really don't have a cornerback opposite Tremaine Johnson. They also have no one that can play the nickel. They still do not have a pass rusher after Anthony Barr backed out of his contract on Tuesday as well. So they have a big hole at center. Also, that's another hole that they need to fill because they've dropped out of the Matt Paradis sweepstakes. So this is a Jets team that's definitely better with Le'Veon Bell, but they're not a playoff team by any stretch yet. They still have some work to do here in free agency and eventually the draft.
All right, Connor, get you out of here on this one. Should we expect any more moves for them offensively? We talked about their wide receiver core, maybe not that strong. I know Le'Veon helps a lot offensively, but should we be looking for the Jets to make any more moves for them on offense?
No big ones. I mean, after Tyrell Williams, I think he went to the Oakland Raiders. Yeah. I mean, with him off the market now, there's not going to be anything splashy. I can see the Jets potentially getting involved with Swanson or John Sullivan, the two veteran centers. I think they could potentially look to get them and pair them then with somebody that they draft at center in the third round or so. Maybe they add a backup tight end to pair with Chris Herndon, somebody like Austin Seferian Jenkins. But as far as flashy, sexy moves here on offense, no, I think the Jets are pretty much done. And a big reason for that is there isn't another one of those big names out there right now in free agency.
There we go. Connor Hughes, The Athletic, covering the Jets. Dude, I know today's super busy for you, so thank you so much for joining us. And we'll get you back on during the summer when the camp gets going.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Connor Hughes here on the Daily Ticker. And we stick in the National Football League now. We talk with our good friend Daryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan, over there in Cleveland, our sister station. And he joins us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline.
A little busy in Cleveland today.
Very busy in Cleveland as well. We were able to squeeze him in. He's super busy. He's got a packed schedule. So, Daryl, thanks so much for taking some time with us. A first, a third round, and Jabril Peppers for Odell Beckham. Is Cleveland loving that deal? Are they thinking that's too much? Are we surprised that that's all it took?
I don't think anyone is complaining in Cleveland that was too much to give up for arguably the best player in the National Football League. I think everyone right now has sticker shock that that's all it cost. But what they've done with this trade, they have combined it with the agreement from last Friday that also lands Pro Bowl defensive end Olivier Vernon and sends right guard Kevin Zeitler to New York. So they basically combine the trade. So that's Odell Beckham Jr., Olivier Vernon, and it costs the Browns Kevin Zeitler, Jabril Peppers, pick 17 and 95 in the 2019 NFL draft. I'm going to go point Dorsey with extra credit.
I mean, it seems crazy to say because they are the Cleveland Browns, but they're the favorites to win the division next year,
Darryl's
right?
Darryl's getting mad about that now.
They should be the favorites in that division next year, right?
They are the favorites, and they are no longer the old Cleveland Browns. They died a happy death right around October 29th, 2018. They won five of their last seven games last year, and it set up what's transpired here in the offseason. They want to forget that awful, awful historic stretch of terrible football even existed. And, you know, I think that not only are they the favorite in the AFC North now, but I think that they've at least positioned themselves to be able to compete with Kansas City and New England within the AFC.
Wow.
I love it.
Daryl Ryder coming in with the hot takes on the show here.
I agree 100%.
Give him a follow on Twitter at RyderWrongFan. It's where you can find all his great coverage. 92.3 The Fan here. Okay, Daryl, so with all that being said then, where's the cause for concern for you, though? You sound very optimistic, and I get it. Baker was right. A lot of fun. They've got Odell now with Jarvis. Where's the cause for concern? Is it with Freddie Kitchens, year one as a head coach, not knowing what he's like? Is it the defense? What are we looking at with the cause for concern if you don't want to go in with where you're going with the Browns?
Well, obviously the personalities have to come together. They've won absolutely nothing. While they take their victory lap here in March, it counts towards nothing when September rolls around. They've got to go out on the field and perform. So I'm concerned about, I wouldn't say concerned, but if you're looking for something to be concerned about, it's how do these personalities, and they're very big, especially on the offensive side of the ball, how do they come together? Does everybody get to eat? Does everyone get enough touches to keep them happy? That's one concern. Obviously, another is this is a whole different situation for the Cleveland Browns. Nobody's laughing at them anymore. They are going to be treated like a legitimate NFL contender now. And so how do they respond? They are going to have a target on their backs now. They haven't had that before. They're going to be playing in prime time, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. The days of them being buried on the schedule Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, those are over, okay? So they have a target on their back. How do you respond to that? There are a couple of spots that I think John Dorsey still needs to shore up. They need some help at linebacker. They, I think, need a little help at cornerback. And if they're able to do that, and also safety, I should mention safety because they didn't trade Jabril Peppers. But if they shore those things up, the rest of it's depth and health. You know what I mean? And those are things, you know, health obviously is out of their control. If they're healthy, they're a juggernaut. If they sustain injuries, they might be deep enough to be able to withstand one or two. Whereas in years past, they had one good player and he went down, the entire season was shot, and you're staring 4-12 or 3-13. Right in the eyeball. So I would say that if you're looking for concerns or to be a little, you feel a little trepidation about putting your money down on the Browns to win the Super Bowl this year, there's some reasons why.
Well, I was curious, too, on the OBJ thing, because a lot of times these wide receivers, I mean, it's like they sign a deal 1 year and then the next year they want a new contract. We've seen it with Julio Jones, who had 3 years left on his deal. Antonio Brown obviously just went through this, and he got his new contract worked out. Is there any fear there, or I guess is there a willingness, if that does exist, that with OBJ coming over, even though he just signed the extension last year, that if he wants a new deal, any fear, are they willing to play ball with him? How do you think that plays out?
Yeah, John Dorsey's pretty reasonable. Obviously, the Browns would really have no reason to redo that deal. The guy got $65 million in guaranteed cash just a little less than 12 months ago. So, but again, Dorsey's a reasonable guy, and if it'll make everybody happy and also maybe help the Browns from a salary cap standpoint, then I think maybe Dorsey will be amenable to it. They are trying to extend a couple of their guys right now. Receiver Rashard Higgins, a young up-and-coming kid. He's a restricted free agent they tendered. They want to sign him long-term. They also want to sign Demarius Randall, who's the safety from the Green Bay Packers that they got last year, fleecing the Packers. They sent Deshaun Kizer to the Packers for the starting safety this year. So Demarius Randall, they want to get his contract extended as well. That will cost a hefty chunk of change based on some of the contracts that have been handed out to free safeties in the NFL this offseason.
Odell Beckham, 390 catches, 5,400 yards, and 44 touchdowns over five seasons. He said on NFL Network last night, at this point, I have no idea what to think. I'm trying to process it right now. End quote. Daryl Ryder, our guest, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Let's get you out of here with this one. You came with the hot takes. Where does Cleveland finish next year? What game do they get to before their season is done?
I'm going to say they get to the divisional round. So they, okay. I say they win the AFC North, which will be the first division title for the franchise in 30 years.
Wow.
1989 is the last time the Cleveland Browns won their division. They win the division this year and the longest playoff drought in the NFL, which spans 16 seasons. I think they could potentially get themselves into the divisional round, and then that's when we find out, is this team a legitimate contender for the Super Bowl? But there is a lot of football that has to be played long before we could even have that conversation.
Daryl, how old were you in 1989?
Oh, you're going to make me do math? I think I was in elementary school.
Wow, there you go, my man. From elementary school and then growing up with just no hope at all with the Cleveland Browns and what they've done to getting Odell Beckham Jr. with Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry. Daryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan, our guest. Thank you so much for the time, Daryl. Great stuff, and we'll have to get you back on once the camps get going in the summer.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there we go. Really good stuff from Connor Hughes of The Athletic on the Jets getting Le'Veon Bell and Daryl Ryder of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland as the Browns. They said, screw this. Let's go win something next year. They've brought in Odell Beckham Jr. to pair with Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Kareem Hunt, if he can come back from his suspension, and then
Callaway's the slot wide receiver,
yeah,
too.
And then who's the other running back?
Nick Chubb,
yeah. Who broke.
Duke Johnson is
still there.
They got a lot of talent, man.
We'll see. Let's talk about Odell. What can Odell Beckham Jr. do? Are we buying what Daryl was selling about how good they could potentially be next year? We'll talk about that next. Better You Today, text lines 55305. Back with that on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. I'm a little bummed. I found out either late last night or early this morning that Aziz Ansari is going to be in town.
He's hanging out in Portland, huh?
Yeah, he's doing a show at Keller or the Schnitz, and he's got a surprise show at Helium tonight.
Oh.
So I was like, dude, I kind of wanted to see what this attempt to come back is and how people are, how he's being received.
He seems to have moved on from that pretty well.
His story was a lot easier, I think, for people to go, oh, okay. But I tried to get tickets, and I kid you not, I hit it right at 11:30 when they were selling them. It couldn't have been 10 seconds into 11:30, and it was already sold out. I don't know how that works outside of bots stealing them.
It's not that big of a venue, so you didn't have to sell that many tickets. I mean, how many people can Helium hold?
I think like 150.
Right.
So maybe a little less.
Yeah, those would go pretty quick.
You figured, so,
but within 10 seconds of turning 11:30.
Yeah, maybe people just refreshed a little bit quicker than you.
Bull crap.
Nabbed a whole bunch of them.
Well, if you're going.
Because you can buy, what, four at a time or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, if you're going, enjoy
it. Yeah, it's like 40 people all hitting it at the same time.
It took a first-round pick, number 17, a third-round pick, and Jabril Peppers to get Odell Beckham Jr. And we just talked with Daryl Ryder, who is all in. He says, this is it. They have turned the corner. They're no longer the Brownies. They are now divisional contending Cleveland Browns who might find their way into the AFC title game type conversations. And maybe that's extreme, or maybe he's dead on with that one. But what is your initial thought when you think of Odell on the Cleveland roster?
I just wanted to be noted today that I was on the Browns bandwagon before any of this happened. I've been riding this bandwagon hard, and I will remain on it. I love this trade for Cleveland. Give their fans a little something else to be excited about. You're grabbing one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. The asking price wasn't that aggressive, and you have a window now with Baker Mayfield that you want to try and win. And by the way, he's in his rookie deal. Like, that is the new NFL, is capitalizing on a quarterback who's in their rookie contract until you have to give him a big time extension 3 or 4 years down the line. So I love this move for Cleveland. They were a good football team last year. It's crazy to say that, but especially when you look at after Hugh Jackson got fired and the way they ended the season, they were a good football team. And really, if they didn't get screwed over by the Raiders, remember that game that they should have won, but the refs took it away from them early in the season. Without that, they would have had a puncher's chance at the division at the end of the year. I look at the other teams in that division. Baltimore defensively, maybe in their secondary, has gotten better, but they've lost a lot of guys in their front seven. So I don't know what to expect from the Ravens in year two with Lamar Jackson. Pittsburgh, in my opinion, has taken a step back with you're riding on Connor again. Bell's not back, obviously. Brown's gone.
People are going the other way on that one now because they're like, well, okay, everybody's counting them out. I'm going to go in on Pittsburgh.
And maybe you want to do that with Pittsburgh, but I think Cleveland has the talent to hang in that game. And Cincinnati, I mean, just throw that out the window. So They are a team. They have a legitimate chance of winning the division. They have gotten better this offseason from a team that was already good last year. It's just going to take a while. I think when you throw out the notion that the Browns can contend in the AFC, people laugh at you.
Yeah.
Because it's Cleveland Browns. But at some point, that whole perception around the organization is going to change. And for a young quarterback that you're really, you know, staking the entire franchise on, you have given him so many weapons to go out there and get things done. There's not a better 1-2 punch of wide receiver than this.
Nope.
Landry and OBJ. You add in the tight ends. You add in the running backs.
Callaway.
You make a really strong argument. They have the best skill position group in the entire NFL with a young and up-and-coming quarterback. Nothing but excitement, man. I'm happy for Cleveland Browns fans.
I am, too. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, whether that's for locker room disaster purposes or just watching all those personalities kind of click. I mean, Baker is an interesting one. Odell, obviously, a very interesting individual. Jarvis Landry thinks the world of himself. I think Antonio Callaway, not quite as out there as the other guys, but has probably an interesting personality type. And then that's not to mention the defensive players that they have. This could be a lot of fun. Maybe it backfires a little bit for them. The other thing about Odell Beckham, because I was looking at his contract now, I was reading that the Giants are going to be stuck with $21 million in dead money for the next 2 years. So it's kind of reminiscent of what Antonio Brown was doing going from Pittsburgh to Oakland, is you're putting some money a little bit on their pockets as well. So you got out of this. Now, I also saw David Gettleman, their GM. He came out, and Jordan Ronan of ESPN says the Giants will transition to a Gettleman-preferred run-first attack.
Well, that's all they got.
Good luck with that.
Duh.
Saquon Barkley is the only player they got left.
I mean, they should just line up in the Wildcat. And
they should.
Look, I think the initial reaction from a lot of national pundits is Odell Beckham's a head case. Good luck with it. Here's my reaction. That's all it took to get the best wide receiver in football, or the second, depending on how you view things. Sure. And you're hoping that he can change his mentality, his attitude somewhat. I think he did at the end of the Giants season. You have fun with this Giant fan, and I feel for Giant fan today, because if you were a Giant fan that's been all in on Eli every single season since that second Super Bowl, you're getting exactly what you deserve. We have been talking about Eli Manning. This guy hasn't been good in like 3 or 4 years, and they continue to just bow down and give him everything because he's a Manning, because he won 2 in New York. Good job. I hope you enjoy the crap show that will be the Giants this year. They are going to be god-awful, and Swag might be right. They might end up being the worst team in football if Cincinnati doesn't.
Or Miami. They're the odds-on favorite right now.
You have 3 teams, and the Giants are one of them. Sure, this might rebound for you in 3 years. Good luck with Eli this year. I'm really going to enjoy watching them suck, because this whole like Eli Manning and treating him like he's some quarterback that we've never seen in NFL history. Peyton got traded. Peyton got released. Brett Favre got let go. Yeah. Like, stop acting like Eli Manning's on that level. He never has been. He never will be. He isn't. Have fun with Eli Manning this year. I hope you guys enjoy his 4 yards per pass games.
It was ridiculously dumb to do the way they handled this. I mean, to give OBJ a contract, tie all the money into him, giving the, $20 million signing bonus. You mentioned the dead cap that's going to count against their salary this upcoming season, and then you trade him 1 year in after all offseason. You've said you're not going to trade him. And then now they've released reports essentially saying the locker room culture was so bad, they had to get rid of him at this point. It was going to get too out of control. Which I love Gettleman leaking that to the media to try and get that out there, because guess what? There are multiple people who have been in that locker room and who know Odell Beckham Jr. who have come out and said nothing but positive things about him. He's a great teammate, works his ass off. He shows up every day. He is beloved inside that New York Giants locker room. So they're trying to find any excuse, because how bad they've been, you know, raked over the coals here the last 24 hours since this trade. It's Antonio Brown quit on his team in week 17. You want to use that argument? I'm all for it. I've had issues with Odell Beckham in the past. There's no doubt. Going on a boat, proposing to a field goal net. Like, some of those things aren't good looks. But when it came to it, he showed up and he played and he worked hard. And I think the Giants are going to look back on this trade. Just acknowledge you want to tank. Maybe it works out for him. Maybe you get your quarterback and you can reset after next year. But a bad look when you sign a guy, say you're not going to trade him, and then you trade him.
Well, yeah, and Diana Russini is reporting they have no interest in Dwayne Haskins.
They're going to play Eli, and they're going to tank for Tua or Herbert or whoever they like in next year's draft class.
Maybe they hope a quarterback slips to him later, but it doesn't appear right now they're getting a quarterback, and they're going to be terrible next year. So a lot of mixed reactions on Odell. Some people think, oh, this is a great trade for Cleveland. Some people think, man, won't do much for the Browns. He's a head case. And some people even coming to the defense of the Giants. I can't imagine how this goes well for him, but not like I haven't been wrong before in sports. All right, loaded second hour. We're going to start with the Trailblazers. They get a great win last night. And would you be cool with LaMarcus coming back? Because evidently he's told Dame he's going to end his career here. We'll dive into that a little bit. Hour two straight ahead on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.